I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the aus and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot do de do ya do do.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food, Marco Polo. I have heard the sing-song voices of children in the swimming pools of hotels I've stayed in from Hattiesburg to Honolulu as they play a game called Marco Polo. First child, Marco. Second child, Polo. I still don't understand the rules or goals. The children go up and down in the water constantly repeating his name. Are they seeking each other? Does it have an end? Marco Polo figures so often in food history that there is the debate whether most of what he had reputedly accomplished is pure PR. The closest other example may be the squabble around the authenticity of Shakespeare. Poor Shakespeare, he seems to be all but forgotten in swimming pool games. As many know, Marco Polo was born to a Venetian merchant family. His father, Nicola, and uncle, Maffeo, were not poor, but they couldn't afford to hire others to do their buying and selling. So they cut out those middlemen and hit the road, eventually bringing Marco along in 1271, when Marco was just 17 years old. It was not the scary Genghis Khan that was ruling during the Polo's wandering. It was the more intellectual Kublai Khan, the grandson of Genghis. He was also known as the Wise Khan. The con man took a real liking to Marco and entrusted him with access and even power not known to a European so far from home. Marco picked up the language and a mania for travel unknown since Tony Bourdain. Though the Mongols had dominated the trade routes, they sporadically allowed more merchants to come in and out of the region. However, they never abandoned their nomadic lifestyle. Too much fun, I guess. Marauding must have its charms. Trade on the Silk Road was a significant factor in the development of the civilizations of China, the Indian subcontinent, Persia, Europe, and Arabia. The ancient caravan route linked central China and the eastern Mediterranean. It took its name from the silk that was brought to the west from China. Though silk was the major trade item, many other goods were traded, as well as various technologies, religions, and philosophies. Oh, and another detail, the bubonic plague, or the Black Death, if you prefer, also traveled along the Silk Road. Marco Polo. The spices that Polo recorded included black pepper, nutmeg, spikenard, I will have to look that one up, galangal, cubebs, cloves, and others. It boggles the mind as to how importantly these spices not only changed Europe over time, but made it more bearable. Cuisine without black pepper would be a vastly different place. And what of nutmeg, cloves, and spikenard? Well, that may be yet to come. Inspired by the Silk Road, I conjured up a concoction that I dubbed the Mongolian Marinade. I submerge a large raw veal chop in it overnight and let it get deeply flavored. The next day, I set it forth on a barbecue-type grill until it is crusty at the edges, glazed all over, juicy within, and alive with the Silk Road spices. Ironically, Marco Polo would probably not be known unless he had landed in jail. It was in Genoa where he shared his stories with other prisoners. The Travels of Marco Polo was not penned by the famed Venetian traveler himself, but a fellow inmate, Rustichello da Pisa. Rusty of Pisa, I guess. Marco died in that prison in 1324. History remembers the storytellers. Or let's hope. Marco Polo! I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.